So the title this morning, if you is a note taker, is Thinking Right. Thinking Right. Oh, Pastor. I know I said the same thing, Lord. All week I was battling this flu bug thing, symptom, I don't know what it was. And I am defeating it daily. Amen. And I said, Lord, what do we want to speak about? And he said, well, I've given you plenty of time to rest at home. And it's hard for me to rest because I'm an A-type personality. So I have to have 185 things to do that week or I feel like I didn't accomplish anything. So it's amazing what God will allow you to get accomplished when you're laying in bed. Amen? And thinking about those things you need to get done. Amen? And he took that task list and cut it down. And he says, I want you, son, to teach on right thinking. I want people to get their mind wrapped around me, being Jesus, and my word, and what I've accomplished, and what I've completed, and not worrying about the hustle and bustle of the Thanksgiving and Christmas season that's upon us and the craziness at the malls. I want people to think about what I've completed in my lifetime and what I've finished for you and for me. And so I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to talk about? He goes, I want your people to know that they have to get their thinking right in order to have all the promises of God. And that boot camp and the training that we went through was just not for a season. It was for a lifetime. It was a foundation-building moment. It was a time to get your stinking thinking straightened out. It was a time to organize your thoughts and remove some things that you were taught that weren't really of the Word, because God only wants what's inside of you is the Word. He doesn't want the foundation of anything of you to have any gaps or anything missing or anything out of place. Amen? And now, you need to understand that every revelation of God's Word is built upon a revelation of what Jesus Christ had finished on this earth. As Christians, we got to renew our minds and our mindsets on what Jesus finished and completed. If you think about Jesus, he was only on earth for a short period of time. In that short period of time, he accomplished so much that the Bible probably couldn't contain it all. There's so many other miracles and signs and wonders and things that Jesus did. There's a lot of time he spent with his disciples and training them and teaching them that wasn't even written in the books of the Bible, because there was so much that was given to them that couldn't just be contained in a book. Amen? And if you look at those that he chose, his 12, they were an odd group of people like us. Amen? And when you look at the group of people he chose, he had to change their thinking. He had to get their mindsets different. They had the mindset of the world, and Jesus came to change that mindset of the world and get them to focus on the Word, the living flesh, which was Jesus. Amen? Now, here's something you need to understand. We don't go to God trying to get something that he's already finished. Jesus has already finished everything he's going to finish and accomplish and complete. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing, you're changing. Or at least I'm hoping that you're changing. I'm hoping that you're thinking is changing, that you have right thinking. Because when you have right thinking, you tap into the power of God, and then you begin to walk in the things that God has promised you. But it starts with your thinking. Shout this morning, my thinking must be focused on Christ Jesus and his word. Stinking thinking must go. So you got to get your mindset right. This morning, take a look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 5:13. I want to share something with you there in Hebrews 5:13 and 14, because see, what happens is in the last 5 weeks of boot camp, I took you from drinking just plain old milk, which is good for your bones, amen. It's good for you, but it won't meet all your needs. So you have to get on the meat of the word. So in Hebrews 5:13 it says this: for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Now, my niece just had a baby girl named Tessa just a few weeks ago, and that baby is on milk. It's not going to eat steaks and eggs yet, amen? It probably will in the future, but right now it's only going to have milk. And that milk's going to nourish that baby to have that baby grow. And the baby doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know anything. But here's the point in verse 14. Solid food, are for those who are mature. See, that's you. That's you who got the foundations of Christ inside of you. You're the mature one. And it says, who through training, boot camp, has the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Now you know. So you can't give me any excuses, oh, Pastor, I didn't know. No, you know. Because I taught you. 11 foundations. You went through boot camp. You got the word. You're eating steak and lobster. Amen. You're eating that kielbasa, sauerkraut. You're eating that lasagna. You're no longer drinking that milk. You might have a little bit. You might just pour that down for your bones to bring your calcium level up. But your main source of is solid food. The Bible is solid food. Amen. It's trying to help. Here's the deal. Your spiritual maturity. And how mature you are is based upon you having the revelation of the righteousness through faith in Jesus. In other words, you get mature when you're eating the solid food of God, when you're spending time in His Word. Shout, I need some solid food in order to grow up. In order to grow up, you need to have some solid food. Amen? Now here, you might want to write this one because God helped me with this. This is so good. You can't affect behavior until you change what you believe and what you think. Let me say that again. You can't affect behavior until you change what you believe and what you think. You can't change the behavior of something in your life until you jump in with both feet and begin to believe, and then you change your thinking. I used to always think it was all about me. It's about me, myself, and Irene. Amen? It's all about me. Ain't about anybody else. I don't care about anybody else. But that's not what the Word said. So I had to get my belief system changed that it wasn't about me, but it was about Him. Amen? I had to get my thinking on the right track. I had to get some right thinking. I had to find some place where I could find the right thinking. I had to feed myself the living Word of the Bible to change my thought processes that were wrong. Amen? I can't affect my behavior until I change what I believe and what I think. If I think and believe I'm going to be a gangster living in a hood and being a hood rat the rest of my life, guess what you're going to be? That's exactly what you're going to be. But if you see yourself as an astronaut, a doctor, a dentist, a good employee, whatever that is, when you see yourself and you believe that, then you can begin to affect your behavior, and then you start moving in towards that direction. Amen? It's right thinking. We did not do anything to deserve heaven. But Jesus came and qualified you and I for heaven and every good blessing and every good success in our life. Jesus did that. Why? Because He got His thinking right. Think about what He had to go through. You know, He was in heaven with God. Last thing He wanted to do is come in an earthly body, have to deal with earthly people, have to deal with earthly situations. And then so many times God had demanded and asked Him to do things that he really didn't want to do, but he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So many times Jesus had an opportunity to say, hey, God, I don't think I'm going to go to that cross. I don't think getting nails in my hands and spikes in my feet sounds like something I want to do on a Friday night. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. What he got his thinking right. He got his focus on us and not on himself. Amen. Now, grace tells us that we can be confident and not fear or expect punishment from God. Why? Because God sent Jesus to give us grace and mercy. We don't have to do 98 things before we get to heaven. All you have to say is, Lord, I'm screwed up. I'm messed up. Lord, what happens? What you do is, and I give this great illustration, is that when you're messed up, the only person that can walk you to the altar is you. The only one that can say, hey, I'm messed up, is you. It's you taking those steps to get over here so that you can say, Lord, please forgive me. I've messed up. And then it's his grace that allows you. What happens? Each step is a right step of thinking. Your mind's saying, I can't believe I'm doing this. I mean, I've been there. I remember when I got saved, I said, I cannot believe I'm going to walk in front of all these people and admit that I'm just a screw-up. Can't believe it. But I did. And I confessed before everybody my sin, and God forgave me, and he moved on. It was his grace. See, most Christians think that their righteousness is based upon doing something right, but righteousness is based on right believing. It's getting your believing in alignment with what God's word says. It's your right thinking that you need to take place. And you need the Holy Spirit to be inside of you that gives you those nudges to say, hey, don't go there, or don't do that. Stay on the right track. Remember what the Lord says. He's there to guide you. He's there to direct you. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important in your life. Amen. And he leads you to God's unmerited favor. You know, and I know that we don't deserve heaven, but we get it because of Jesus. Amen. No one's disqualified. Everybody has a chance to repent. But what that is, it's a changing of your mindset. It's a changing of your thinking. It's getting in alignment and right thinking with what God says about you. Amen? Right thinking is thinking focused on God. Let me say that again. Right thinking is thinking focused on God. Take a look at Jeremiah 17:5. Right thinking is thinking focused on God. Here's what the New Living Translation, Jeremiah 17:5, says this. This is what the Lord says. This isn't what I say. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for a future. They will live in a barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But verse 7, see, this is the part I like. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Those that trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. In other words, you got your thinking right. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water so that you're never thirsty no more. Come on now. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or 110 degrees of Las Vegas or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves still stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. That's you. Oh, Pastor, that's you. If you think you are, you is. I know that's not good English, but it's all right. I studied in the those highfalutin colleges that taught me that stuff. Amen. When you are rooted next to the living water, Jesus, and your mindset is right, you never are in drought. You're never in doubt. You're never in fear. Why? Because Jesus is here. You are the one that is blessed, but you have to see yourself blessed. You got to call yourself blessed. You got to start getting your mindset like you're blessed. I didn't say being blessed wasn't hard work. Blessings have some hard work associated with it. You haven't walked in Jesus' sandals, so it's hard for you to say that. But here's the reality of it. God never promised you a rose garden. Did because rose gardens take a lot of work and effort and time and gardening and a green thumb and a trimming and a cutting and a pruning. It's work. But if you get your mind around it, it's not work. For some people have rose gardens, it's a pleasure to have those. It's beautiful to look at. People admire those beautiful flowers that we men pay $50 or $75 for during Valentine's Day. The blessed person trusts in the Lord, but the cursed person trusts in himself or herself, in their own efforts, in their own good work. What God is trying to say is that it's not about you, it's about him. You got to get your thinking right. You got to get your mindset right. I always thought it was about me. That's why I was arrogant, conceited, and cocky. Why? Because I could afford to be. Because it was all about me. But then Jesus came knocking on my heart and said, it ain't about you, son. It's about me. And if you can be as bold as a lion when you're talking about yourself, if you can be as bold as a lion for me, blessed will be your life. Choosing to depend upon yourself and rejecting God's unmerited favor means that you're choosing to make your own effort your strength. And let me tell you, when you try to do it your way, it's the hard way. I made some hard money when I didn't serve Jesus. I have nothing to show for it. I ain't got a nickel of that money. Easy come, easy go. Tithe? What's that? Give unto the Lord. What? See, I had to get my thinking right. It's better to give than to receive. Huh? Oh, I like to receive. No, no, the Lord says it's better to give than to receive. When you gave thanksgiving and you blessed those children, at the, it was so much better to give than to receive, to see a smile on the child's face. To trust something means to rely or lean upon it. See, I trust that this stage will support me because I know the foundation that went underneath it. You could drive a tractor truck on this thing. I know how the 2x4s were laid. I know how they were bolted in the gun with the 22 cal that were dropped in there. And I know this thing isn't, it'd take an earthquake, won't even move this thing. I know how it was built. I can lean on it. I can try. You sit on those chairs. Why? And you know that it will support your weight. You don't even think twice about it. See, that should be your relationship with Jesus. You should be leaning on him, trusting him, and believing him. You should be like that song said, when you're, I'm just gonna rest my head upon Jesus. I'm gonna feel his heartbeat beat with the rhythm of my beat. Here's something about religion that I hate, and that's why I like relationship. And this is important that you get this morning. Please. Religion teaches you that you should lean on yourself and your efforts at becoming righteous instead of leaning on the finished works of Jesus Christ. Religion teaches you that you can be righteous, that you can make yourself righteous, and you can make yourself holy. That's what the scribes try to do. instead of leaning on the finished works of Jesus. Jesus didn't make it hard. He said, lean on, trust in me. Amen. It's about changing your mindset. It's the right thinking that you need to get a hold of this morning. See, real salvation is possessing Christ's life in your physical body. That's what it's about. It's about you going out and getting it done for Jesus. It's about you making one right step that leads you to the next right step, that leads you to the next right step, that leads you to the next right step, to the next right step. And all you continue to do is make right steps along the way. And if you make one bad mistake, it's not like you're going to have to go all the way back to the beginning. No. That's not how God is. It's one right step, and you go back and say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up here. Help me. And all of a sudden, he gets you right back. Why? Because you're stopping at his finished works. It's like a springboard. Amen. There's already a foundation. You don't have to go back to zero. You know how dominoes, you ever play dominoes and you have all the dominoes set up and you hit one and they all go down, you know, and then you have to start at the beginning. That's not how God does it. He starts you right where you're at, where you messed up. God allows you to continue. Amen. You got to get your thinking right. Right thinking gives you access to the precious promises of God. Right thinking gives you access to the precious promises of God. Take a look at 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. This is the New Living Translation. This is the last scripture this morning. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. What has he given us? Great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. If you want to plug into the things of God, what you need to do is get your thinking right so then that you can gain access to all his promises. Do you know his promises are yes and amen? His promises are yes, you can have it. He didn't say that you're going to have to work hard for it. He didn't say it was going to take some effort. He didn't say it was like you're going to get laughed at and picked on and scoffed at and other people may get to the race and look like they're finishing first, but they're really not. Let me give you an illustration. When I was in high school, after high school, I went to a trade school. And I went there because I thought I would avoid 4 years of college, like my brother. Amen? Didn't want to go to college. I didn't think I was college material. I was told by my counselor that all I'd amount to be is a janitor in some high school. That's what they told me. My ACT test scores were low. And you know, I didn't take tests very well. I was good with my hands, though, because I was good in wood shop. I was wood shop 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I won state awards. I worked in wood, and I enjoyed the type of stuff. I was good at gym. I was physically okay. Amen. Hallelujah. But that English stuff and the mathematics and the sciences and the botany. I knew about botany as I got older because I knew how to grow those plants. Amen. That I used to sell. And so I knew economics after that. Amen. Hallelujah. But my thinking was wrong because I was told by someone that all I would amount to be is a janitor. So I then went to a trade school and I had some of my friends go and I did very well. I excelled and I was told that I should leave that school and go to college and finish a 4-year degree. Someone encouraged me and said, hey, you're just blowing this stuff away. You should go to college. And I'm like, college? Now, during this time, I had a good friend, and he was almost done with the school, and I was just now getting back and starting college full time. It was the hardest thing I ever did. I mean, my eyes were open. Now I know why I should have took botany and really listened, and I should have really took those higher math classes, and yeah, because I'm going to now have to take those in college, and I got to pay for those things. Now, I say this My friend graduated from the trade school. And he went out and got a good job. He went out and got himself a brand new car and new S10 pickup. I'll never forget when he picked me up in that thing. And I'm in college driving a clunker, Ford Granada, steel bumper and all. And I looked at him, and he was fast-tracking, man. He had money. He could go out and buy his own clothes. And I had to wear sweatpants and go to college every day, 5 days a week. And I thought to myself, well, boy, I wish I had all that he had. And then I built my foundation. I went to college for those 4 years. It really took me 4.5 years because I had to take extra classes. And I graduated from college and made my parents very happy. And I was smarter than them. Book smart, but not practical. And I remember my parents saying, well, you know, some of these kids that finish, you know, those trade schools, you know, they're only be limited to their field. They'll never advance. They need some additional education to carry them to where you're going to go. And I started off, and I remember I got my first job, and I was so excited, and I was making what that gentleman was making after working 4 years. Wow. I fast-tracked. Why? Because I got my thinking right. The choices I made there gave me the promises later. See, in life, in order to proceed to the promises of God, you got to know who God is. You got to know his nature. You got to know how he thinks. You got to know how he does things. You got to know why he is, and who he is. Amen? So you have to get your thinking right, in alignment with him, so that you can have all that he has. Now, I say that, let me get back to that story. My friends had all the toys, all the riches, and all that along the way, and I was angry. I was mad. I'm going to college, and college, I got hardly any money. I got to work summer just to be able to have some money. My parents are going to take care of the college, but, I got to drive my Nova with, the headers on it, And I had to sacrifice some stuff. See, something about life, sometimes you have to sacrifice some things in order to gain the bigger prize at the end. See, sometimes we just want that instant palace, but we haven't done the work to show and proven ourselves to be able to have the palace. We want the new car, but we haven't figured out that there's a car payment attached to that thing that's $950. That's why I'm not interested in a Bentley. I'm not interested in a Rolls Royce, because it comes with a price tag that I don't see the value. But I did see a value when I got saved. And people laughed and people scoffed, and I had to change my group of friends, and I had to change some stuff. I had to get my thinking right, because my mindset was, is get as much as you can, as fast as you can, and sit on your can. Be retired by the time you're 25. Do whatever you need to do, no matter who you have to hurt along the way. But then Jesus. Then Jesus had a plan. Then Jesus came into my life and knocked on the door of my heart and said, hey, boy, you need to change some things. I need to get your thinking right. I need to get it in alignment and agreement with my word, because if you can get it and based upon my word and find out it's not about you, but it's about me, how much further along you'll be and how much further along you'll be blessed. That the money you're making won't get eaten up. It'll seem like it sustains itself for so long. And then I learned about that principle about giving, tithing, and offerings, and I was afraid of that. And then I had to get my thinking right around it. And now all of a sudden I'm blessed, exceedingly overwhelmed by finances coming my way. Not that I'm filthy rich, but you know, it's coming, praise God. Why do I need money? Because I got kingdom business to get done. I don't need another new shirt. I got enough new shirts. Amen? If I need another one, Walmart's got another one for me for $9.97. Praise God. God promised that if I have my right thinking in place, that I can have access to his precious promises. That's what the Bible says. If I can get my thinking right, if I can get my mindset right, if I can do what God tells me to do and do it His way, let me bring it back to today. Today is December 1st. Christmas season is knocking at your door. And people are all worried about the gifts and don't even know who the giver of the gift is. I went shopping at Walmart with my son. And there was, probably 100 Muslims in there, all dressed in their garb. They knew how to find a deal, but they knew no reason why Christmas season even existed. Other than I'm getting a discount on Black Friday or Black Thursday or whatever it was. Amen? And why do they call it Black Friday? It should be Red Friday. Because you're, going negative in your checkbook. You'll be bleeding a little bit. Come on. You'll catch that right around lunchtime. How are you gonna pay for that? I'm gonna charge it. And they have just mountains full of stuff that's gonna fade away. And they have no reason and no answer to the promises of God. Christmas is not about the gifts, but it's about the giver of the gift. See, in Christ, we have the divine access to all the promises of God. Amen? We carry the power of God inside of us when we have right thinking. While Jesus is taking care of your battles, He also makes sure that you're secure inside. That's what He does. In the midst of your weakness, God's life will be manifested in your total flesh. When you're weak, He's strong. When you don't have it all together, He does. But you got to know that you got to turn to Him and not to your ways. Because your ways are going to be hard. Your ways are going to be stressful. Your ways are going to be tough. But God's ways come attached with a promise that says that you shall be blessed. That you have the victory in Christ Jesus. That you're the head and not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. That you're blessed coming in, but man, I'm 10 times more blessed leaving. Amen? It's better to give than to receive. That I'm walking in healing. Why? Because the Bible says I got my thinking right. If I think about the way God does things, I can have God's things. I'm not walking around sick, moping, doping, forgetting. I got a keen mind. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. I'm going to renew my mind and get rid of the old junk. The old junk needs to go away. I need to clear a shelf for the things of God. I need to get my thinking right. Amen? When your thinking is right and based upon the Word of God and faith focused on Jesus, then you have access to all that Jesus has already done. Well, Pastor, I ain't got this. Get your thinking right. You already have it. You may have to work for it. You may have to sacrifice something for it. You may have to work 7 days that week to get it. See, we all want Jesus to be Santa Claus. Poof, here's your 62-inch TV. Or like an auctioneer, like Dell says, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. God's saying, I wish you'd get up, 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 I wish you'd get up. What do you mean 5 a.m, Jesus? So early bird catches the worm. What do you mean? I got to get up at 5 a.m. to spend time with you? Used to be up 5:00 a.m. clubbing. Just rolling in. Take me to the penthouse. But you can't have access to the penthouse until your thinking's right. It's about getting your thinking right. When you have right thinking, it gains you the access to all that Jesus has already done. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not changing. So in the equation of life, if he's not changing, the only one that should be changing is who? Hello? Me? But I need to rely on him. See, it's changing your mindset. Remember, you were taught, just do it yourself, brother. You can do it yourself, sister. You don't pull yourself up by the bootstrap. It's all about you. You can do it on your own. You're an army of one. Well, listen, in the army, you need a whole bunch of folk in order to win the war. If you're connected to Jesus, you win. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Look in the book of Revelation and get a revelation that you win. Read the book because that one gives you a blessing. But you don't know that unless you read the book that says, in the first couple lines, says you get blessed when you read this book. Well, other books didn't say that, did it? How many books are in the Bible? How many? 66. Only one of the 66 says you'll be blessed when you read the book of Revelation. But why do we stay away from the book of Revelation? Because it's brimstone and hell, and that's what the world's coming to. Yeah, read the newspaper. That's hell. Our society's jacked up. Why? Because we got away from the foundation of Jesus Christ. Our thinking is so far away from God, it's unbelievable. Look in society today. Look how people think and how they treat people. God is holding nothing back from you. Nothing. Yeah, but he ain't give me that house yet. Maybe you don't deserve it yet. How are you going to make that payment? $1,200 plus principal, interest, taxes, insurance, PMI. Come on. God didn't give me that new car yet. Really? Have you gone out and got a job yet so you can pay for that car? See, we all waiting for God to be Santa Claus. That's why we got to get our thinking right. Don't worry when everybody's buying up the store. Because come January, they'll be crying evermore when they get those bills coming in. Look at my new 100-inch TV. Praise God. You're not going to be able to go out because you're going to be paying that TV set off January, February, March, April, May, June, July. Live within your means. It's Christmas time. It's better to give than to receive. Maybe you give up your time or your talent or your effort or a kind word. Well, Pastor, that's cheap. Well, that's all I'm going to give you guys for Christmas. Buying you all a gift. I'm going to give you the giver of the gift. Amen. I'm just trying to help adjust your thinking. I'm trying to get you to believe the word a little bit more. I want you to be a doer and not a hearer only, because if you're a doer, then you gain access to all the promises that God has for you. Today, I stand before a group of champions, a group of leaders in Christ, an awesome, smart group of people that possess the qualities of Christ. You're more than an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You're increasing daily. You're blessed and you're highly favored. You're the head and not the tail, and you're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. I am standing before a group of people that think right. That your thinking is based upon the Word and not on the world. That your access is from God. All the blessings you have comes from Him. The job you have comes from Him. A better job comes from Him. Like I told my employer, you're not the one who provides for me. God is. You've provided me the job that God allowed me to be here to be a blessing to your company. Don't take that as arrogant. Because when I'm there, the Holy Spirit is there and God is there. Come on. And when I go to where God calls me to go, wherever that may be, that place will now then be blessed. And I'm believing that I've left the remnants behind that changes people's thinking and say, how did that guy get what he got? How come he's so blessed? Because my thinking is right. And when it's wrong, I'm first one to hit those knees and say, God, I'm screwed up here. Help me now, please. I'm not afraid. Got a wife in my corner that says, honey, I don't think we should go that route. God's showing me. Listen, she's got a lot more discernment than I do. I'll admit that. Women typically have more discernment. My wife's got a lot of it. So when my wife says, I kind of go, I might not agree at first, and I might growl a little bit, but my ears are wide open to what she's saying. She helps me stay on course. She keeps my thinking right. Sometimes I'll bring a valid point that gets her thinking right. Amen? That every man should have a motorcycle. Praise God. I got her thinking right. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord. This morning, get your thinking wrapped around what God says. God says a lot about you. God says He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to be in His peace. Just spend some time with God. Don't allow this Christmas season, don't allow the hustle and the bustle of people to slow you down from spending time with God. Keep your mindset right on God. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, bless your people and everything they do, Lord God. I call them blessed and highly favored. Increase them, Lord God, in all that they do. This week, Lord God, allow them to have favor, Lord God. Unseasonable favor. Blessings, Lord God. Let them be the person to have the answer. Allow them, Lord God, not to get frustrated when the whole world is turning upside down in front of them, Lord God, that they will, Lord God, walk in peace, the peace of God. Lord God, I ask you to bless your people this morning. Lord God, financially enrich them, touch them, guide them, direct them, increase them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody that heard that said, amen and amen.